I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. If you're living with a significant other, who takes care of the laundry? Who cooks the dinner? Who gets the kids to practice or puts them to bed? Who cuts the grass? Who fixes the computer when it crashes? The equal division of household chores can be key to a healthy and happy relationship. And while there have been dramatic changes in family life, including most women working outside the home, studies have shown that women are still doing the bulk of the household duties, especially once children are part of the picture. In same-sex couples, chores are divvied up in a more equitable way, although kids have a way of changing that dynamic. Now, couples often say they believe in egalitarianism and shared responsibilities, but when it comes to putting those ideas and ideals into practice, they fall short. In fact, they often don't realize how much time they are spending on household chores, especially, I'm sorry to say, men, who generally overestimate their time taking care of the home. So today on Radio Times, we look at the division of household labor, the strain unequal duties can put on a relationship, and how to divide housework fairly. We have two guests who have joined us. And Darcy Lockman is at the NPR studios in New York. She's a clinical psychologist, author of a book called All the Rage, Mothers, Fathers, and the Myth of Equal Partnership. Darcy Lockman, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Also with us is Claire Camp Dush, and she's Associate Professor of Human Development and Family Science at Ohio State University. And Claire Camp Dush, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you.
Darcy, let me begin with you. You have this book. You're a clinical psychologist. How much is housework a bone of contention among couples?
It's one of the top three reasons cited for divorce, the unfair division of labor, if that gives you any idea. But there's also a lot of relationship research, some of that out of the Gottman Institute in Seattle, that shows that perceived unfairness causes a lot of marital conflict, even when it doesn't end in relationship dissolution.
You said perceived unfairness. I think that's a significant word.
Yes, perceived, right? Perception is. Though the time use data does support the fact, as you said in the opening, that women tend to do the lion's share of the work, especially when kids enter the picture.
Claire, let me get you in on the conversation. How should we look at who does what in the household and figure out, you know, who's the person? It tends to be the women, but who is the person who's doing the most work here? Help us understand just what the research is telling us.
Well, the research is telling us that women still do the lion's share of work in families. And our data, looking at the transition of parenthood among mostly highly educated couples in Central Ohio who had these attitudes that thought, you know, we're going to share things equally after the baby's here, we really showed that before the babies were on the scene, things were pretty equal in terms of housework. But across the transition to parenthood, men actually did 5 fewer hours of housework than they did before the babies were there per week. Women stayed about the same, and they both added parenting. But when you added all the work together that they were doing, including paid work and housework and childcare, women did about an hour more work per day than men.
So if you take 24 hours, how does that flesh out?
So if you take 24 hours in a day and you have a dual earner couple, and as you mentioned at the top of the hour, that most women are, you know, majority of women with children are working now, that fleshes out with women doing an additional hour of work per day while men are, our data show, doing leisure, which would be like exercising, watching TV, playing on their phone, doing other things like that.
Darcy, let me go back to you. Why does having children or a child, why does that have such a dramatic change on this relationship?
Well, first of all, children create a lot of work. So before there are kids in the house, especially because people do less housework in general these days than in the old days, children create these excesses that are really hard for couples to manage. That's part of it. But people will also talk about how the home is really becomes a gender factory in terms of gender roles once kids are introduced. Like, we're never so much as gendered as we are once children are in the home. So people fall back into these stereotypical sex roles. Like, we don't realize sort of the sexism we've internalized growing up in this world until we are a mother or a father. That seems to be how it plays out.
Well, you write a lot about yourself and your husband, and we know all about the two of you, Darcy. And you begin your book with a description of you and your husband in an overnight bag. What happened?
Oh, right. Yes, when I was starting to write the book, my husband was taking the kids to see his mom for the weekend. And as he was leaving, you know, because this was a sensitive topic, he didn't want to ask me to pack. But he did say to me, you know, if there's anything you think I might forget, could you leave it on the bed? And the implication was, I don't know how to do this. I need you to help me. And that the fact that he hadn't been doing it had led to this place where he really didn't know how to do things. It was sort of a learned incompetence because I'd been so hyper-vigilant about doing anything. It was the system that developed between us. And when we tried to shift it, this was the kind of difficulty we had. Like, what do I take with them for a weekend? You know, like, figure it out. Think about it. What do people need in the course of a weekend? They are people.
I can hear your anger rising there, Darcy, as you're talking about this. But I think what you're also saying is that, again, we're talking in broad generalizations here, is that women, or perhaps moms, believe that they should do more when it comes to the household chores. Do I have that right?
They seem to. In fact, there's some interesting research that shows that both women and men perceive that things are most fair when women are doing about two-thirds of the work.
Interesting. I mean, so again, we're back to perceptions.
Well, right. So there was a study there was a time diary study that was done that looked at couples and what percentage of the work they were doing in their homes. The couples were blind to the data, so they didn't know what the breakdown was in their homes. And then the researchers went back to them and said, well, you know, do you feel like things are fair? And what they found was the women who were doing two-thirds and the men who were doing one-third reported the greatest feelings of fairness. So this wasn't about, well, I do two-thirds and you do one-third, and they explicitly knew that. They didn't know how much they were doing. It's just that people seem to think, you know, because of the gender roles in society, it feels fair to people when men are doing about a third.
Claire,
heterosexual couples.
Sure. Claire, let me get you back in on the conversation and talk to us a bit about self-reporting and I guess, reality reporting.
Well, I'm just like laughing at all these comments. It's really interesting to think about. So you might perceive things are fair, but when I feel like when you talk to women, you know, reporting something on a survey and how it feels is pretty different. And Darcy's story about her husband not knowing how to pack the overnight bag is like extremely typical, where he's looking at her. And like my comments to parents and moms about that is just let him do it. And if he has to go to Walmart and grab something for the kids, then he's going to learn. You know, it's not like you're going to the middle, or maybe he was going to the middle of nowhere, I don't know, but you
no,
probably
he
run
wasn't.
And grab. What
he wasn't, apparently.
He was not. So he could probably grab and then he would learn, oh gosh, you know, next time I'm going to need X, Y, Z. I always like to tell moms, because Darcy's right, like our expectations of women and this idea that women have to be these perfect mothers, and there's this intensive mothering ideal that our expectations of what mothers do has grown over time, that we get blamed when the overnight bag isn't packed right. Like if her husband got there and her mother-in-law was probably like, well, why is this stuff not here? What did Darcy do? And she's the one getting blamed for that, even though he's the one that didn't pack it right. And so we can't fault women for taking on some of these tasks, because they're the ones that society holds accountable. But my response to that would be, you know, let men do it, and they may not do it the way that you would do it. I don't want to say the right way. They may not do it the way that you would do it, but they're doing it, and that's what counts.
Well, Claire, and to you, Darcy, as well, I don't want our listeners to think that we are bashing men or fathers on the show, because I think there's always this complicated dynamic between a couple. And I think, Claire, you said an interesting thing, which is don't do it right. Figure out how to do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that's something that often can come up, is that, like, as Darcy mentioned, like, we're socializing women to be responsible for all of these things, and we have all these expectations that women are the default parent and the ones that are responsible. And we have these expectations for men that they do anything at all, they get, like, a gold ribbon. You know, like they get a medal. Like my husband, you know, I always like to joke, like, you know, sometimes he loads the dishwasher and is like, look what I did. And, you know, you know, I'm like, well, we do that all the time. My husband actually does half of everything, and it's, you know, not very likely for him to do that. But sometimes men want like bonus points for doing doing a third of the work, as Darcy said. Like, you don't get bonus points for doing a third. Like, you're supposed to do half of the work, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, right. great inflation. And, Darcy, go ahead.
Yeah, Marty, it's an important point you're making about not bashing men. We're bashing patriarchy, right, Claire? I mean, patriarchy is not a person. It's a system. Right. And we are socialized. Girls are socialized to be communal, and boys are socialized to be agentic. And what else is going to happen in the home when you have a male and a female suddenly living together? Those roles play out and have an impact.
One of the things, Claire, you said in some pre-interview notes is think of the person you're living with as a roommate, which is kind of hard to do. But at the same time, I think it gets to this dynamic, right?
Yeah, I like to talk to my undergrads. I always, because, you know, I teach about these things with my students, and I'll ask them, I'm like, who has a roommate that, you know, is annoying and doesn't clean up after themselves? And they all have an annoying roommate. None of them are the annoying roommate. Every single one of them does. And I'm like, and, you know, who comes home and, like, there's dishes in the sink and your roommate hasn't done them and they somehow expect you to do them, and they all have experiences like this. And I'm like, and that's annoying, right? You're like, you have eyeballs, do your dishes. Like, I'm not in charge of telling you to do your dishes. And then I'll ask them who feels like having sex with them, and none of them do. So I'm just, like, trying to make this point to them that all of these things go together to create a marriage. And, you know, John Gottman, as, you know, you mentioned John Gottman, Darcy, he has, likes to have this comment, but what do people fight about? They fight about nothing. They fight about doing the dishes. They fight about very little. And these little things add up to be super annoying and can undermine your marital quality. And we know your marital quality is tied to your health in lots of very profound ways. So it has, you know, even, like, little benign things like not doing your share of the housework can have serious implications for everybody.
But it's so interesting. I mean, if let's say doing the dishes, folding the laundry, running the vacuum can help a marriage, Darcy, I mean, those are things that, you know, human beings are capable of doing. What is the resistance about?
Well, I think it's interesting. There's some sociologists who have written about women perceive the work that is created by children as an excess, but men perceive it as taking away from the leisure that they're entitled to. Mm. So I think, again, because of the different ways we are raised, you know, we men have this entitlement and women match it with their unentitlement. And housework tends not to be as big of an issue as the childcare stuff, because, again, children add so much work to the home. And an hour a day, the number that Claire cited, is so significant. And the research also shows that women manage to do all this stuff by cutting back on their own leisure time, personal care, and sleep. So if you have one adult in the home who's really cutting back on all that to such an excess, and one person who is taking more leisure time, it really does end with a lot of resentment, because it's observable, right? When I am spending an hour cooking dinner and my husband is lying on our bed looking at his phone, he's not doing anything wrong per se, but I'm certainly irritated by it. And a lot of the women that I interviewed expressed, including Claire, by the way, who was one of the best interviews from my book, expressed similar frustrations.
Well, and yes, and we're up on a break here. I mean, it seems like time spent on the phone is a bone of contention among couples. That's Darcy Lockman. She's a clinical psychologist, author of All the Rage, Mothers, Fathers, and the Myth of Equal Partnership. Claire Camp Dush is an associate professor of human development and family science at Ohio State University. We're talking about who does the dishes, who takes out the trash. Join our conversation, radiotimes at whyy.org. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and you can call us 1-888-477-9499. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Here on WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Marty Moscowen, and we're talking about couples and the division of labor. Research shows that women still do most of the housework, and that sharing those tasks is good for the relationship. And again, talking with psychologist Darcy Lockman and researcher Claire Camp Dush. Let me play a clip from The Simpsons. We always like to play The Simpsons. This is Marge making lunches for Bart, Lisa, and Homer, and they're peppering her with questions, requests, and complaints.
Extra mustard for Bart, sliced diagonally, not lengthwise. Light mayo for Lisa, cut off the crust. Double baloney for a home.
Mom, can you send us a red cap?
Mom, where's my lucky red cap?
Mom, I hate those conventional things. They make me gag.
Mom, I'm talking to my parents again. Can I have two sandwiches today? Make the baloney sandwiches, too. Can I have two slices of baloney?
One at a time. One at a time.
Double baloney. Don't forget to make it double baloney since you can hardly get the baloney.
There you go, Lisa. No pimentos. Bart, your hat's where you left it, behind the toilet. Homer, I'll sew your pants, but I'm out of baloney.
Thanks, Mom.
We always love playing The Simpsons. Any thoughts from you, Claire or Darcy?
I mean, I certainly heard women tell me that when their kids need anything, and their husbands as well, or their male partners, they're the ones who it is requested of, right? Mothers are meant to be imposed upon.
Oh, interesting. Here's a Facebook comment from Mary Cade who says, after moving in, my boyfriend told me I folded laundry incorrectly. Guess who signed himself up to be the laundry captain? I really like that comment. Sounds like, Claire, you want to add something. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, that's whenever people have preferences and men have preferences that still want you to do it, then that's a great strategy. Go ahead and do it yourself. I always talk about relaxing your preferences and not worrying if the dishwasher is. My sister, her husband wants the dishwasher folded loaded exact certain way, and just let him do that. One thing I was going to say about the Simpson clip is that we haven't talked about yet is that women end up as like these default household managers. So like right now we're just talking about doing the laundry and all of that stuff. We're not even talking about making doctor's appointments, keeping track of kids' practice schedules, XYZ. There's like tons of things that women are managing that's not even easy to see as loading the dishwasher.
The idea, right, the mental load,
but the idea being the sort of household manager. Darcy, can you speak to that?
There's interesting research. I'm a fount of research, right? There's interesting research on the mental load, and social psychologists have actually quantified that it's women who also bear the most of the mental load. In fact, if you talk to heterosexual couples, 60% of people in heterosexual couples identify the woman as the one who bears the mental load. If they're asked, like, think of a time in your household when someone had to remember something that had to be done and tell me about it. So 60% think of a time when it was the woman who was remembering. And an interesting question that came after was, what was that thing? And when the men were the one who were bearing the mental load, it was often because the task benefited them. For example, I reminded my wife, she said she would buy me a jacket.
Goodness. But you also say, Darcy, and you interviewed about 50 couples or women, I guess, for your book, which is many of the women said, look, he's a great guy. He's great with kids, blah, 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 blah. Good guy. But, and the but seemed to be about household chores.
Right. So those of us who go into parenting these days go into it with this conventional wisdom that men are doing so much more with their kids than they used to. And that conventional wisdom isn't wrong. Fathers tend to be more involved with their kids than they were, 30 years ago. But what's missing from that conventional wisdom is the fact that the actual amount of labor, childcare labor that men do peaked around the year 2000 at 35% and hasn't increased since. So we go in with this misunderstanding based on this conventional wisdom that's incomplete. We're surprised when we women end up doing more of the work.
I wonder, though, Claire, whether women just have higher expectations of themselves or have a demand for a certain kind of perfection, which in a sense forces them to do more work than seems fair or equitable.
Yeah, and that's why I come back to the societal expectations for women. I mean, men are doing more, and they get a lot of credit for that. I always tell my undergrads, too, like, you see a man walking down the street with a baby, and we're all like, oh, look how sweet. And you see a mom walking down the street with a baby, and you're like, duh, there's a mom with a baby. So men get, like, this credit for being involved, and 35%, that's great. But it's still not half and half, and there's still this extra load. And when women, and it used to be that men were doing more paid work than women, and in a lot of these couples, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And a lot of couples, women have more education and may be making more money or working more than their spouses. And so if we're thinking about all the different kinds of work, then women are still doing more, and that's not fair. especially when men are spending their extra time and leisure that she's not getting. And we know that leisure has benefits for your health, benefits for your sleep, benefits for your well-being. So it's undermining women's health and well-being when women do more.
Let me read a question from Dave, and I want to add something from my own life. Dave says, my wife does most of the housework, but I do most of the yard work and home repair work. Did your guests consider the type of stereotypical work that men do? Now, in my house, I take care of the food because I'm a pretty good cook. My husband is not. But if the lights go out, if my car needs to go to the garage, he does that. Now, that is very sort of gender specific. But nonetheless, I think we need to make sure that we are sort of broadly understanding what housework entails. In my intro, I included, you know, when the computer crashes, at least in my house, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But my husband knows what to do with that. Claire?
Well, let me comment on that, because in our study, we had routine housework and non-routine housework, and that's what you're discussing. So the routine housework is what has to happen every single day, doing the dishes, loading the dishwasher, you know, cooking, things like that. The non-routine housework, like yard work, taking out the trash, fixing a computer, all of that stuff, we have all of that in our data. So it's not like we're not accounting for that, but that is not routine. That is not stuff that happens every single day. The yard needs mowed once a week or however often you mow it during the summer. And like right now, no one's mowing the yard, at least in Philly, and definitely not in Columbus. Maybe we're raking leaves, but you get those raked and then you're kind of good for the winter. So that is not equal. Like that. So non-routine housework, yes, men are more typically do the non-routine housework, but it does not take as much time as the routine housework.
Darcy,
can I comment on that?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. And then I want to put another comment to you, but go ahead, Darcy.
Claire, I don't know if you saw this, but there was an interesting study that looked at whether urban men who don't have yards and cars make up for the work they're not doing, the more gender-typical work they're not doing, by doing more around the house and with kids. And guess what that found?
Same thing?
No, they don't make up for the time that they don't spend doing yard work and okay. The other stuff by contributing more in the home. So I thought that was a really fun, it's kind of an interesting finding.
Well, let me tell you about an angry man. He did not want to stay on the phone, but he wanted this address. He said, we are man bashing on Radio Times. And Darcy, I want you to speak to that.
Right. I think it is easy to feel that way about this conversation. But both men and women are kind of in the same water, which is that the expectations of girls and boys are so different in terms of how they are to behave in the world. So we internalize a lot of sexism without realizing it, and it gets lived out in our homes. So I and the other women I spoke to were often quite hypervigilant around everything that had to be done, mm-hmm. and then did it. And the men I spoke with and the women I spoke with all talked about husbands taking a step back in the face of this hypervigilance. So families are systems. You know, any psychologist will tell you this. This isn't the fault of men and it isn't the fault of women, but it's on all of us if we want to make changes to this system, all of us being aware of, you know, the sexism and the sexist ways we live, which aren't our fault. But still, to take responsibility for that involves both members of a couple saying, this isn't leading to our mutual well-being. We need to look at this when this is the case.
Well, I wonder, Claire, whether
I wanted to comment on that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Let me just toss something out here. But whether inequality makes everyone feel bad.
Yes, right. Exactly. It does make everyone feel bad. I mean, if women are managing men's parenting, which we call maternal gatekeeping, if that's happening, that can make men feel like they're not good parents and feel bad about that. And so, you know, that's why women need to be careful about about the fact that they've been socialized to be hypervigilant, because they might be undermining their partner's parenting. But as opposed to man bashing, I'd like to do some man praising. And I'm married to a man, my husband, and we have four boys. And they are 6 through 16. And my husband works full time, and so do I. And my husband's actually getting a graduate degree right now.
Wow.
And so things are insane, completely insane at my house. And my husband still does half of everything. He knows the kids' schedule just as well as I do. In some cases, I think he knows it better than I do. He does doctor's appointments. He does the dishes. I never ask him to do anything. I'm not in charge of our household. We are co-in charge of our household, and he can do half of everything. And we have a high-quality marriage, and this can happen. And so, you know, I think that the idea of man bashing, like men can do this and women need to let them do it and men need to step up and do it. And that can happen.
Claire, I'm just curious, did you start out that way, or was this something that you have negotiated as you've been having your children?
No, I think we kind of started out that way. Even from the very time that my son, my very first son was born, I was in a pilot study at Penn State. I got my PhD at Penn State. And they asked me who the primary parent was. And I said, well, we don't have a primary parent. And they're like, well, who does more? And I'm like, well, we both share things equally. And he was like 3 months old. So even from the very beginnings, I think I ended up saying myself because I was breastfeeding. But even from the very beginnings of our experience as parents, we were dividing things equally, and I had no assumption that I was going to be better at this than he was.
Interesting. Let me just quickly reintroduce the two of you. That's Claire Camp Dush, and she's an associate professor of human development and family science at Ohio State University. Darcy Lockman with us as well. She's a clinical psychologist. She's the author of a book called All the Rage, Mothers, Fathers, and the Myth of Unequal Partnership. We are talking about housework on Radio Times and who does it, certainly child care as well. You can join us, Radio Times at WHYY.org. That's our email address. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and you can call us 1-888-477-9499. Darcy, let me just pick up on what Claire said, which is that this is doable, and couples can sort of figure out how to negotiate who does what and to find some fair balance between all the responsibilities they have at home. How do you suggest they broach that conversation?
The couples I talked to who had the most success in building a partnership in which they both felt satisfied with what was going on in terms of the workload really understood that without paying a lot of attention to this, that a lot of stuff would default to the woman simply because of, again, all this socialization. So they took care to check in with each other, to really talk about what needed to be done, to dividing things. So the reason that I wrote this book was in hopes that if people really understood the tenacity and the genesis of this problem, that they'd be in a better position to address it in their relationships. And I've definitely heard from couples who have said, this is really useful to us. I've gotten emails from women and men saying, you know, this is life-changing, having this information. We no longer feel angry at each other for the way things have been, and we can really sit down and kind of calibrate in a calm way what would help us each feel more satisfied with what's going on in our home.
And how much does that involve noticing things and a kind of awareness about what the other person is doing?
Well, a lot of it involves a lot of noticing and a lot of awareness. There's interesting research that shows that of all gendered configurations of couples, lesbians co-parent most harmoniously. And this makes some intuitive sense given that women are raised to kind of pay attention to what the other people around them are feeling and thinking and needing. So when you have two women together who were both raised to do that, they're doing a better job of doing it with each other. But certainly one can learn to pay more attention to what their partner is taking on in order to kind of like intuitively balance things out.
Claire, can you speak about same-sex couples, and then we will get some more calls and comments in the conversation?
Yeah, same-sex couples are an interesting comparison because they don't have these automatic gender roles. And so what Darcy said is right. Lesbian couples tend to have better co-parenting than do the other couple configurations. But things still can become gendered in terms of the division of labor, even though same-sex couples hold pretty high egalitarian ideals and want things to be equal. They do end up having some division of labor that's not equal, and it tends to go around who's making more money and who works more.
Let me get some callers in on the conversation. We've got, looks like Marnia calling us from media. Marnia, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I was wondering if economics figures into this at all. For instance, like if men tend to make more, that's just a fact. Is there an expectation that women have to earn their keep? Does anyone ever see that?
Darcy, have you seen that?
Well, it's interesting. There was a theory in the 90s, relative resource theory, which posited exactly what the caller is saying, is that, well, men make more money and that's why women do more at home. But now things have shifted and 38% of married women out-earn their male partners, and the division of labor has not shifted. So relative resource theory was really proven wrong. There's something else going on, which is gender.
And is it just that sort of traditionally housework is seen as women's work, Darcy?
Yes, and men are entitled to kind of relax when they're in the home. Women have to run the home. So, yeah, I mean, this is right. This is what's we think of sort of the stereotypical 1950s June Cleaver housewife. Hmm. You know, certainly many women always had to work. That was sort of a, you know,
sure.
privilege to not have to work always. But that's what we think of as like the standard, right? That's still kind of where we are in our heads in some way, clearly, for, based on the way this is playing out in terms of the time use research showing that women are still responsible, women in dual career couples, for about 65% of the child care work.
Let me get Mark from Trenton to join our conversation. Hi, Mark. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah. Hi. I just wanted to push back a little bit on what you're talking about, the gender stereotypes, because in my personal situation, it's a role reversal in that I'm currently a stay-at-home dad, and my wife works, and I do all the household chores. I do, you know, everything you're talking about is yeah. just reverse, and you know, so I think it's not always about the gender, but you know what the roles are. Because my wife, you know, she does most of the leisure time. You're talking about leisure time, and I'm the one cooking. I'm the one doing the laundry. I do most of the household work.
Do you, Mark? Did,
what
do you,
I will say, though, what yeah, I will say though is that she has a tendency to try to micromanage what I do at home, and I don't know if that's a guilt thing. I don't know what yeah. it is, but or just her personality to try and micromanage everything I do at home. But I do it. So.
Well, Mark, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Claire, do you want to respond to what Mark just described?
Yeah, and I mean, the proportion of men who are stay-at-home parents has gone up slightly. It's still very low, but that's one of the, I have this great documentary I show my students about stay-at-home dads, just to kind of show them that dads can do all of these things, just like we were talking about. They might do it a little bit differently, but they can do all of the things that we're discussing, and they are capable and amazing, incredible parents. And Mark is probably a great example of that. The fact that his wife is still kind of micromanaging him probably comes back to what we were just talking about, societal pressures on women and the expectations that, you know, ultimately they're somehow responsible for how these children, you know, we have that the trope about, you know, you're going to go to a psychologist to talk about your mom. You know, women are still somehow ultimately responsible, and that's probably some of what Mark is experiencing. So that's why I always say couples need to push back on that and let each other parent and do housework and do those things in their own way and be okay with it.
Let's take another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. That's Claire Camp Dush, and she's Associate Professor of Human Development and Family Science at Ohio State University. Darcy Lockman is a clinical psychologist. She's got a book called All the Rage, Mothers, Fathers, and the Myth of Equal Partnership. You can join us. In fact, we got a lot of people that want to join our conversation. RadioTimes@WHYY.org. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times and call us 1-888-477-9499. This is Radio Times here.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. And here's Carol Channing's Housework from the 1972 album Free to Be You and Me.
So, the very next time you happen to be just sitting there quietly watching TV and you see some nice lady who smiles as she scours or scrubs or rubs or washes or wipes or mops or dusts or cleans, remember, nobody smiles doing housework but those ladies you see on TV. Your mommy hates housework. Your daddy hates housework. I hate housework, too. And when you grow up, so will you. Because even if the soap or detergent or cleanser or cleaner or powder or paste or wax or bleach that you use is the very best one, housework is just no fun.
Hard to disagree with that. Darcy, let's talk about the children. I mean, children, children are the sort of anthropologists of their own families. They are watching everything, watching what their parents do. If we're talking about this inequality of work at the home, what is the message to children?
Well, kids are gender detectives, they have been called. They really want to know what the expectations for their group are so that they can fit in. And they do notice everything. So I know my younger daughter said to me at one point, why does Dad always drive? And we live in New York, so we don't drive that much. But I was like, oh, God, I started driving more. And there's research that speaks to this. So boys who grew up in egalitarian households are just as interested in babies as girls. Boys who grew up in more traditional ones show less interest in babies than girls. And it's likely because they've internalized their same-sex parents' kind of modeling. But there's a larger issue, which is like, what do kids see in the world? You know, even a child who grows up in an egalitarian home observes that it's only male faces on the money, right? Or that men are usually the ones in positions of power and authority and social esteem, and that women do more of the care work, for example, like in elementary schools. How many male teachers do you see? So even if you're raising your kid in an egalitarian home, society has a huge impact on what they understand their proper gender role to be.
Claire, let me go to you then. I mean, if the idea is to try to figure out how to share this housework, children, especially when they reach a certain age, are responsible as well. If we're talking about how to address this, is this a family project?
Yeah, I mean, with my boys, they do housework. They have to. It's the only way this family can function. They do their own laundry, except for the six-year-old. Everybody else does their own laundry. They all have their own laundry baskets and are responsible for their own laundry. And so, you know, housework is much more efficient than it was in the 1950s. You know, we can get things done much more quickly and much more efficiently. And so we need to involve kids in this and have them help. I've had undergrads say to me before, my mom really loves to do housework, and that's why she did more. And I'm like, can you please ask your mom about that and let me know what she does? Because it's just, you know, it's not realistic.
Let me read some comments here. A tweet from Margot. My husband was the, quote, cookie mom for my daughter's Girl Scout troop for years. A friend at the yearly area Girl Scout meeting introduced the cookie moms and overheard a woman say, oh, poor thing, I guess something happened to the mom. Just chuckle about that. Luann says, I hear your guests laughing about this, but to me, it isn't a laughing matter. Women aren't valued as much as men. An email from Kathy, when males say, I'm helping you, my response is, you're not helping me, you are helping us. We all share in the load. Children learn from what they see, so when both parents don't participate equally, this perception of roles is passed on when they enter partnerships. Claire, I'm curious about for empty nesters. So once children are raised and out of the house, and let's say it's a couple, then they've got the place to themselves. What happens to these gendered roles?
They pretty much stay in place. And sometimes, too, women might have a preference to do more of it and may have had a long experience, especially when we think about cohorts and generations, where they were doing more of it. And so in some cases, they stay pretty similar. It'll be interesting to see as our current generations move forward and the ways they've been socialized in some different kinds of ways and have, you know, women have more education, et cetera, if that will look differently. I do want to come back to this idea of helping, though, and that is a really profound comment that one of your listeners had. And this idea that, you know, men will say to women, well, you didn't ask me to do that, or I didn't know I needed to do that, or how can I help you? That still puts the onus on her being in charge of everything, and it's insulting. You know, men can see what needs to be done oftentimes, or if they can't see what needs to be done, then that's a problem right there, and why aren't they seeing it? And so this idea of, you know, it would be great if kids never heard their dad say to their mom, what can I do to help? Because it's, you know, that's not what's going on here. You're not helping. This is we're co in charge of this. At work, you know, you don't have the boss that delegates, right? Women should not be the delegator of the house because they shouldn't be like the household manager. Both couples should do that. If you have, you know, you shouldn't be saying that.
You shouldn't be saying that. Really? You're telling people not to have a certain kind of conversation?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is using the words help. Like, try to both of you be in charge of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, try to make sure that both of you are in charge, where a husband's not saying, what can I do to help? Mm-hmm. You know, or she's saying, what can I do to help, as much as he is. They're both in charge of this. They both see what needs to go on. And so kids see dad taking responsibility as much as moms are.
I mean, I guess the question is, how do you get to that point, you know, where the, the partner, the male partner, largely speaking, is saying, what can I do to help? And the point is, how do you get to that without, you know, without dragging him through the coals, if you know what I mean?
I think, Marty, I really appreciate the person who said this is not a laughing matter. And we are, it's easy to make light of some of it, but she's absolutely right. Women take hits to their physical and mental health as well as their income. Women over 65 in this country are, I think, like three times as likely as men over 65 to live in poverty. And this is because of all the time they've spent in unpaid care work over the course of their lifetimes.
So, yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to pay for housework, wouldn't it? I wonder if that would even change who did what if there was some money attached to it. Let me get Shirley from Wynwood to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Shirley. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I'd like to go back to the idea of the traditional gender role chores and also the emotional and mental load. If the grass has to be cut, it doesn't matter what time of day it's done, really. If you have a stack of dirty dishes and they don't get washed until the next day, it's not a big deal. But if you have to get your kid to school by 8 o'clock or they're going to get detention, I mean, that's a major emotional, mental burden there. And if the traffic's bad and whatever, and I think there are a lot of situations that women find themselves in where it's extremely stressful. And if the men are just doing things like mowing the lawn, you know, it's just not the same thing.
I hear you. Darcy, you want to add to that?
I agree with what she's saying. I don't know what to add, but sure. Certainly I got a lot of emails from men after the book came out saying I do all the yard work, and I don't think I responded to a lot of them. I mean, I appreciate that that is work. I do. I don't dismiss it, but it's true. And, you know, the research also shows that when it comes to caring for aging parents, the paradigm holds. Women do sort of the stuff that needs to be done daily that is more inconvenient, and men do the more I can't remember what the word is. I don't remember what the word is that characterizes those tasks, but the things that can be done kind of any time, like mowing the lawn. So it's not just with kids, but it's with the sandwich generation taking care of elderly adults as well.
Claire, here's a comment. My married friends and I do much more work around the house than our fathers did. I'm not sure what the cause is, but my wife and other wives, I see, demand much more than those of prior generations. I mean, do you think there is that we sort of up the ante on how perfect we need to be and how perfect everything needs to look at home?
That's an interesting comment, and I think that comes back to, you know, like, I had to get off Pinterest because I thought it was just making me feel like I had to change every single thing about my house. My husband's like, what are these ideas coming from? So, I mean, we haven't even touched on the social media societal expectations for even what our houses look like. I look at these websites and I'm like, how do people's houses look like this? Like, exactly. I have this great picture I like to show when I talk about these issues, and it's like, my house is a disaster. And it's a disaster on a regular basis, my mom will come over and she'll be like, oh my God, how do you live like this? Well, you know, I'll have it clean when they're gone. So, I mean, I think that there's something to that, that maybe we do have higher expectations, and that's something to seriously think about is, you know, what can we do to work on having expectations that are manageable, that are going to, you know, help our well-being and not undermine it.
Here's John calling us from Bucks County. And John, go ahead. You're on Radio Times. Hi there, John.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to add my 2 cents. I'm another stay-at-home dad. And by choice, it wasn't I was forced out of a job or anything. And I've been doing it for about 7.5 years now. And I would say I do a majority of the housework, handle a lot of the school stuff. I get the kids on the school bus. I'm the one going to the conferences. My wife is busting her butt at work. She has an hour and a half commute.
Wow.
And really for us, the thing that's just been that has worked throughout our entire relationship, it's just the communication. You know, there are days where I'm a little stressed out with stuff that I need to have done around the house, and my wife might not be seeing what needs to be done, and she might say, how can I help? And I know that your one guest was saying, I may have misunderstood her, but I was gathering that that's not necessarily a good thing. But for me, when she says that, I might say, okay, I need this needs to be done today, or I have this on my list. But we just communicate with each other.
I hear you.
We just go over what needs to be done, and it's a team effort, and that's how we've kind of approached our relationship and our family. As long as we've been together, it's a team effort, and we can both get things done.
No, I really appreciate the call to Radio Times, and Darcy, sounds like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I mean, so the caller and his wife have agreed on a division of labor, which is that she earns the money and he stays home, which is fine. I think anything couples agree on is fantastic. I think, I'm not sure, Claire, if I'm right about this, but I think both of us look at dual career couples. So couples who are both earning the money and there isn't parity. And an interesting fact is, first of all, most stay-at-home dads are not there by choice. Your caller makes a really important distinction. I can't remember what the percentages of dads who are stay-at-home because they've lost their jobs. But the research also shows that even in homes where women earn all the money and fathers are unemployed, they still don't reach parity. That gets the closest to parity in terms of male-female division of labor, but women tend to still do more even when they are the sole breadwinners. So, again, stay-at-home dads is a separate issue.
Sure.
And, I think the attention that the caller and his wife pay to stuff is great, and I do think it's helpful. Most of the couples, I think, who have the biggest difficulty with this are dual earner couples.
John, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Here's a comment from Shelley, who says, tasks don't have to be 50-50. Some people like to do one thing more than the other. It may look uneven from the outside, but it works for the couple. Claire, can you speak to that?
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, and that's why I was trying to kind of make the point that sometimes people have preferences where they really enjoy doing something. Though, is that a household task if you really enjoy cooking, or is that a hobby? I mean, that's something to think about. But I think that's why it's unique to every couple. There's not one perfect division of labor. There's not one perfect way to manage a family. And so I think that's a really good point. If you really enjoy doing X, Y, Z, and it's like I always like to say, like it's feeding your soul, it's like something that you really enjoy doing, then by all means, go ahead and do that. Like some women really enjoy parenting, and they would be upset if some of their duties got taken away from them. We're more talking about situations where it's not fair or there's not a perception of fairness and it's causing a problem. And then I also just want to clarify that it's okay to ask your partner if you can help. What I would like to see us get to in the United States is both partners asking each other what can I do to help, not always the man asking the woman in heterosexual couples, and that's where there's a problem in that she's the one that knows what needs to be done.
Let me read.
So definitely ask people. It's okay to say, what can I do to help?
Let me read a couple of emails. One from Daniel. Father simply should not call out from the living room to his wife in the kitchen, honey, I need help. Or honey, need help? ? I assume that he's generally offering to do his part. So I'm really disappointed in my fellow men for not for taking the easy way out. That's from Daniel. Jacinda says, I love this discussion on the division of labor. I think two topics that deserve more exploration is being responsible for unequal division of labor, at least in parenting, our breastfeeding and paternity leave or the lack thereof. And I wonder, Darcy, we're almost out of time here, but if you could speak to that. I mean, if we had better paternity leave, would we be having a different conversation?
We would. There's also new interesting research about the long-term effects of paternity leave. So when men take paternity leave solo, meaning their wives are back at work and they're home by themselves, the payoff is great in terms of like 5 years later, they're still doing an hour more a day than men who never took paternity leave, something like that. So that is certainly a big issue. Though, again, it doesn't seem to be a problem that we're soon approaching solving. So couples being more on top of this in their own relationships and understanding how things are going to fall if they don't stay on top of it seems to be a really important, like very practical step they can take immediately. But yes, the caller's apps or the person who wrote was exactly right about that.
Claire, we're again almost out of time, but I was reading a couple of articles of women who were saying, look, I had to have bed rest during my pregnancy for 6 months. And lo and behold, things got done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this idea of paternity leave and of men doing things like my ideal world, women would take 3 months off and men would take 3 months off. Or even longer, and not overlap necessarily, because then they both become an expert in the baby. They both become an expert in all the things that need to happen. And that would be great for child development. It would be great for marital quality, and it would be great for fathers and mothers.
We're going to end on that note. Claire Camp-Dush, thanks so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She's Associate Professor of Human Development and Family Science at Ohio State University. Darcy Lockman, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. And she's a clinical psychologist, author of a book that came out this year, All the Rage, Mothers, Fathers, and the Myth of Equal Partnership. Lots of comments and calls. We will carry on this conversation on our Facebook page. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to join us on Facebook, and also to download a podcast of the show and check out our Twitter feed as well. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Kelsey Hansen. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thank you so much for joining us.